Hi, I'm Rahul Kashyap. I'm the Chief Security Architect of Bromium, and I also head Bromium Labs, which is the Security Research Division.
And my name is Rafał Wojczuk. I also work for Bromium Inc. I'm Security Architect. And my job is mostly take care of the security of the product, but also make some independent security research.
So we are going to talk about a talk is called Layers on Layers, LOL, and how we bypass various endpoint security solutions. So what we have done is we have stacked around 6 to 7 layers of different security solutions available in the market, and then we use a public exploit which has been uncovered in the wild a few months back, and then we keep on tweaking the exploit until that exploit can bypass everything layered on and stacked on top of each other, basically.
So the main message in our presentation was that there is a certain kind of vulnerabilities, namely kernel vulnerabilities, which if exploited are fatal to almost anything, any security solution that you can find deployed in real time. Because all of these solutions were built with the idea that you have some secure foundation. You have the kernel, and if your solution is based on the kernel, it can, you know, apply security policies and generally enforce anything. And this time vulnerabilities are particularly nasty because they allow you to get control over the secure foundation, over the kernel. And once you have control over the most privileged code running on the computer, then there is no defense. Simply, the main motto was, there is no way to protect kernel against itself. If kernel is already compromised, then any security solutions that's built, that's running within the kernel context, cannot be trusted. That's the main message, and that message is not something very groundbreaking new that no one was aware before, right? Our conclusion is that it's rather more that of inconvenient truth, because most of security vendors are well aware of the problem, right? But they don't have a good response to that, unfortunately.
Ultimately, it boils down to how much difficult can you make for the attackers to break into your system, and how much can you raise the bar for the attackers, right? So we feel that the current technologies that are available, the traditional technologies in the defensive space, aren't enough. And if an attack like we demonstrated comes in the wild tomorrow, everybody can be, you know, everything can be bypassed yet again, because architecturally they are flawed. And that's kind of very important to raise that bar of security effectiveness.
It's true that most of the malware that's now in the wild, most of it does not bother to use that kind of attack, advanced attacks that attempt to get code execution in the kernel, because they don't need to, right? Most of the malware is relatively primitive and doesn't use the tactics. But unfortunately, there are cases, real-life examples of malware that purposefully uses kernel vulnerabilities to get the highest possible privileges, and then use this privilege to get full control of the system. And in the presentation, you mentioned like 5 or 6 different brands of malware that actually do it in real life. So that's not very academic discussion, right, about something very theoretical that might or might not happen, that we are already see this in real life. And one of the reasons is why we see it in the real life, that the problem is very common, right? The type of vulnerabilities are pretty common, and new cases of such vulnerabilities are discovered in Microsoft Windows all the time. So that kind of vulnerabilities have the potential to become even the dominant one once the existing solutions get more and more complex, because admittedly a lot of effort has been put into creation of various security solutions, and it's true that they provide quite some value, right? But again, the problem is that if an attacker tries to pull a complicated exploit, he is in the position to bypass all these existing security kinds. That's the essence of the problem that we try to summarize.
Yeah, and I think as the security industry is very interesting, very unique compared to other industries. For example, the way the attacker sophistication level has dramatically change in the last 8 to 9 years. For example, 8 to 9 years back, you could just exploit a Stack Overflow and control the entire machine. but now there are default inbuilt mitigations in the operating system. So that's the even the bare minimum exploit writer has to know a lot more and has to be far more sophisticated. So it's obvious that the bar is being raised for the attackers as well, and they are coming up to speed because
they're keeping the paces.
Right? So we believe that these kind of attacks are not far from reality, so it's kind of a preconditioned warning for everybody to take notice of this and come up with stronger defenses. So I think one way which we believe architecturally is sound is to use something like virtualization to encapsulate the entire operating system from inside a VMM context, such that instead of trying to defend yourself against and trying to protect the kernel, which we say is infeasible, you try to just ignore it and just abstract it, such that inside the VMM, even if you compromise the OS kernel, it'll remain inside that context. It will not infect the user or the actual host operating system. So that's something which was not possible earlier, but virtualization has matured a lot in the past few years. There is CPU capabilities available to make it far more robust, far more faster and reliable. So we have to use the latest and greatest hardware capabilities in the chipsets like VTD, TXT, VTX and so on to kind of create robust environment where you can execute untrusted code, such that even if you get compromised with a very sophisticated advanced attack, you don't have to worry about getting compromised. So with that approach, we are significantly raising the bar for the attackers, because in this case, the attacker now have to bypass the hypervisor as opposed to just exploiting the OS kernel. So it's kind of a argument of changing the game by reducing the attack surface. And that's kind of what we think is an architecturally right way to solve this problem.
And frankly, raising the bar is a very modest statement, because it's frankly more like a change of a paradigm. Because currently, the truth is there exist vulnerabilities that allow you to get the control of the most privileged part of the system. And once you have control over this part, you can do anything. And we introduce another layer of protection. This time, this layer, it's possible to make it relatively secure against that type of attacks. Again, there are reasons why it is more secure. It's not just pure wishful thinking. It's simply the amount of functionality that the virtualization must expose to untrusted code is much smaller than in case of operating system kernel. And that's a definitive difference, because sometimes people say, so what's the gain? You introduce another layer of control, and this layer of control is just code, and code can be attacked, code can have vulnerabilities. So what's the problem? Now there are kernel vulnerabilities, tomorrow we'll have vulnerabilities in virtualization software. So what's the difference? And our response is that there is a measurable difference, simply because this time we're not trying to introduce another fat code which can be attacked in 1 million ways. We're trying just drawing by our experience and this history of security vulnerabilities, this time to build something different, something that is built from the scratch with security in mind, that again takes into the consideration all the possible attack vectors that we expect might be used in the future, and build the system from the scratch, not using some off-the-shelf software preferably, but just build the same system from the scratch, build a hypervisor that's designed to be resistant to attacks. That's the difference. We hope that it could make difference. Yeah. We constantly do all possible tests against the software, right? Because right now we're talking about specific solutions, right? Mm-hmm. There are other solutions, but we are aware that it needs to be validated, right, in some reliable way, and we're working on that. So that's definitely not wishful thinking. We are committed to build it in a way that can be verified as much scrutiny as possible.
Yeah. We ultimately want it to be a defensible perimeter, and the more scrutiny we get, the better we get. Mm-hmm. So we are actually looking, we are in discussion with several key people who are actually helping us validate our claims as well. So we are in the process of that right now, and you know, pretty soon once we are done with that, it'll be out in the news as well. But we are committed to make sure that as you said, I mean, this is not wishful thinking, this is facts, right? And I think it's about time that we came up with a new architecture, because we are certainly losing the cyber battle, because it's like a cat and mouse game. You know, you try to protect one level, the attackers go underneath you and try to attack at a different level, right? Mm-hmm. So there's something which has to be fundamentally different, from a paradigm way, as Rafael said, to the way we're looking at security. Otherwise, it's always going to be a cat and mouse game. I think it's really badly needed right now, given that we seem to be losing the cyber battle, right? So I think this is kind of, and we kind of expect that this is going to be the theme and the future of how security industry is going to evolve going forward.